Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Ayin Beis. We're going to start the Gemara on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We started the eighth parak of Zvachim. It's the midway point of the Masechta. In terms of dapim, I don't know. 120. Okay. We're in the right area, but maybe a little bit past. But in terms of prakim, though, however, this is it. In other words, the eighth parak now is the second half of the Masechta, and in which the second half of the Masechta, this parak is, if there's any such parak that's popular in Zvachim. Actually, that's not true. Number five is popular. It's incorporated into the Nusach of Tefillah. It's part of the davening. And so five, I think, is the most popular. But the second most popular parak, however, in the yeshivas is this parak over here, the eighth parak, because it deals with tarovas, it deals with mixtures. Mixtures has a lot to do with this of a heter, has a lot to do with laws of kashrus. And so this parak has a lot of those concepts of tarovas and what happens when you have a mixture, and sometimes there's bittel, and sometimes, of course, there's bittel blockage. And so that's my term. So I take credit for that. So when do we say bittel? When do we not say bittel? So that comes up here in the eighth parak, and that makes this parak a cause of a lot of popularity in the yeshivas. If they're learning zvachim, they're learning the eighth parak probably. With that stated, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday what happens when one carbon gets mixed up with a number of other carbonos. And the Mishnah, the beginning of the eighth parak, goes over a number of different scenarios. The first scenario, which we're going to focus on for now, is a scenario in which, although the truth of the matter is the Gemara really expects us to know all the scenarios, but the first scenario is which I have a chatas amesos. I have a carbon chatas that is for five different reasons. So the chatas cannot be offered. In fact, just the opposite. It's not to be offered. You just simply allow it to expire. It's a really pleasant way to say that you kill the animal. But you don't actively, to be clear, however, you don't actively kill the animal. But in other words, you dispose of the animal. You have to dispose of the animal as it can no longer be brought as a carbon chatas. Okay, and these are the chatas and mesas. And so you have one carbon chatas that gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other carbonos. And what happens now? What happens is that there's no bittel, there's no nullification. And even if, says the Mishnah, there are 10,000. Now, mind you, by the way, the way I'm presenting the Mishnah is not the way the Mishnah originally presents itself. And what I'm just doing is clarifying it based on the Gemara, which we're going to see in just a moment. But the point of the Mishnah is that if I have one carbon chatas amesa that gets mixed up with 1,000, 10,000, I mean, the Mishnah uses that number, 10,000 other carbonos, still, if I can't make a determination of which animal is which, and I've lost now identity of which one's the chatas amesa and which one the other carbonos, so as a result of that, all these animals are going to be treated like a chatas amesa and they're all going to die. Now, if you just take a moment to think about it, the amount of loss that we're going to have because of bittel blockage, meaning that for various reasons there was a blocking of the bittel, and because the bittel was blocked, so therefore we're going to lose all these animals. Okay, and that's obviously, when you think about it, you realize like just for obviously reasons that they felt were important enough, bittel is going to be blocked. There's not going to be bittel. All these animals are going to be left to die. Okay, so that's the first halacha we learned together in the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah presents it, not exactly the way I presented it. Kol hazvachim shenisarvu bechatos amesos. If let's say you have any carbon that gets mixed up with a whole bunch of chatos amesos, meaning the Gemara right now is entertaining an idea that I have not one, but many, many chatos amesos, or shor niskal. And again, the Gemara is right now entertaining that you have multiple shor niskal. Shor niskal, by the way, is an example where you own an ox, and the ox now gore somebody to death, kill somebody to death, so the ox needs to be stoned. So not only is the ox going to be stoned, but on top of that, it's also us about, no, you can't get benefit from that ox. Ubala shor naki. The owner of the ox is going to be free and clear, and the Gemara understands that to mean that no one is allowed to get benefit from such an animal. So again, the way the Mishnah presents itself, it sounds like there's one carbon that gets mixed up with all these various different animals. And so immediately what the Gemara seeks, let's see the Gemara inside. We are on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, right at the beginning of the Gemara. My afilu. The language of the Gemara, when the Gemara says the words afilu, it's strange. Hachi kamar, the Gemara says, because, I'm sorry, let me clear this point to the Gemara. It sounds like from the Gemara, it's one thing which is prohibited gets mixed in with one thing that's permitted that gets mixed in with a whole group of things which are prohibited. So there, of course, there's not going to be bittul. And it sounds like a feel, like this is a big chiddush. It's not a big chiddush. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, you're right. And so in terms of understanding the Mishnah, I don't think right now the Gemara is actually looking to edit and change the text of the Mishnah. I think what the Gemara means right now is just simply, when you read the first Mishnah of the 8th Perek of Zvachim, this is how you have to understand it. Kol HaZvachim Shenisarva Behem, Chatos HaMesos, Roshor HaNizkal, Afilu HaChabiri Bu Yumusu Kulam. Okay, and the way I presented it, I have one Chatos HaMesos, I have one Shor HaNizkal that gets mixed in with many other Karbanos, so they're all going to have to die by virtue of the fact that it's mixed in with the Chatos HaMesos. Okay. And so now, here's what we're going to do from here until the middle of the next Amud. You see these Amud and Meshur, by the way, Tosfos obviously has a lot to say, a lot to discuss. Much discussion over here. And again, because Tyrovis, it has to do with mixtures, and mixture is such a big topic, such a meaty topic. So Tosfos obviously is gonna have a lot of discussions over here, which cuts down on the amount of Gemara. From here now until the middle of the next Amud Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, what we're gonna be analyzing is the following. Here's what we learned in our Mishnah. I have a Tyrovis, I have a mixture of animals, they get mixed together. Happens to be our Mishnah is talking about Karbanos. So what do we say? There's no bittul. Now, there happens to be a very similar Mishnah to that, like this, found in Temura. And there happens to be that there's a Mishnah very similar to this found in Avodah Zarah. The one in Avodah Zarah we didn't do so long ago, in the fifth parak of Avodah Zarah. Okay, we're going to get to review it later this morning. And the Mishnah in Temura, so we saw that a long time ago in the Daf. So we're going to see it closer on the front end than on the back end. So it's coming up, the Masechta Temura, coming up one of the later Masechtas in Seder Kachem. And the basic point is that we're going to learn the same thing over here in the Mishnah Zvachim, there in the Mishnah Temura, there in the Mishnah Avodah Zarah, and why is Rav Yehuda Anasi feeling the need to repeat himself in all these Mishnahs, basically making the same point again and again. So, and what the Gemara is going to come down to is that Trichusa, that they're all necessary. Each one of them covers an element that the other Mishnah may not have covered. Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned this. So here we are with a Mishnah in Temura. Kol ha'asurim legabe mizbeach. Anything which is prohibited to the mizbeach, osrin b'chol shehin. So it creates iser, and it creates iser even with a kol shehu. Now that's a term we're very familiar with. We saw that term again and again in Avodah Zarah in the fifth parak. Kol shehu even means trace amount. Now we're talking about animals, so we don't merely mean trace amount. We mean, but in terms of ratio, if I have one prohibited animal that gets mixed in with any amount, it doesn't matter. You can give whatever number you want, right? Approaching infinity, you can give whatever number you want. The halacha is, says the Mishnah Temura, is that there's not going to be bittul. And kigon, and I'm sorry, the Mishnah doesn't use the word kigon. I just added that. Shehain, same idea. And what are examples of this? Says the Mishnah Temura, harova v'anirva. If an animal was involved in bestiality, rova is just the active involvement, and irva is the passive involvement, but an animal is involved in bestiality. Here's what we know. We know that if an animal is involved in the bestiality, so for the layman, for you and me, so we can shech the animal, we can eat the animal, it's totally permissible to you and me. It's mutal ajo. I wouldn't suggest that you make dinner table conversation revolve around the animal. That would be, you know, I don't know if that would go over well. But in other words, it's mutal ajo. However, it's also to be brought as a carbon. Okay, the Gemara darshins it out. It's not explicitly stated in the Torah, but it's based on a drasha. So you cannot bring it as a carbon. So since you can't bring it as a carbon, so we'll hear what the Mishnah is telling us, that if I have an animal that is involved in bestiality, and the animal now is also to be brought as a carbon, and this animal gets mixed up with a number of other carbonos, and again, the Mishnah over here says kol shehu, which means it doesn't matter what the ratio is. One rovea animal, one nirva animal, gets mixed in with 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. Does not matter. Once there's a tyrovis, once there's a mixture, so then it all is to be disqualified legabe mizbeach. Now here, by the way, because there's no bittul, it's really not the end of the world. Meaning, the only thing now it's prohibited from is mizbeach. Meaning, you and I can enjoy all these animals, but still, vis-a-vis the mizbeach, there's not going to be bittul.
I thought that animal was stoned.
Yeah.
Punishment, I mean,
okay, good. Good question. Right, Danny asked the question, why isn't an animal involved in bestiality stone? So that is if there's due process, meaning just like there's due process for people, there's due process for animals as well. Reasons may not be the same, by the way. Animals not exactly given free choice, and It's not exactly, but in other words, but you need due process. And by due process, you need a pair of witnesses, you need, you don't need a warning for the animal, that would be strange. But you need a pair of witnesses, they have to be kosher witnesses.
So if there's no due process, how do you know?
Fine. So we said that in yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says that one aide came forward, maybe the owner came forward and testified.
Oh,
okay.
Owner against himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so fine. So we have a Mishnah in Temura. And so what bothers the Gemara right now is, good, you have the Mishnah in Temura, so once I have the Mishnah in Temura, so what do I need our Mishnah here for? So Amar Ravashi Amitza L'Shamayta Kamen de Rav Shimi Ve'atzrichan. So Ravashi said, look, I went over this matter in front of Rav Shimi, and he says there's a tzrichusa, there's a need for both Mishnayos, because di'ime hasam havamina hanimi l'gavoa. So the Gemara says, look, over there, I'll make the argument that there's not going to be bittul. Bittul will be blocked. But over there, I'll make that argument because it's legavoa. Aval lehejot emalo. But over here, we're talking about hejot. Meaning, the Mishnah over there in Temura says that now it's going to be, and it's going to be what? So it's going to be, you can't bring it as a carbon. But you and I can enjoy it. So in other words, even though there's bittul blockage, but it's not so bad. So over there, so we'll say that the bittul's been blocked. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about now a chatzas, a mesa that gets mixed in with a bunch of other animals. And as a result of that, who can benefit from it? Nobody can benefit from it. We can't benefit from it. The mizbech can't benefit from it. So now you're going to tell me that it's totally, it's perfectly prohibited across the board. So av ala hajot em alone. The ime hacha. Now if all I had was our mishav yirin zvachim havamina, hani hu di asirin, di isuri hananinu. We're talking about things that are not only asr b'achila, but asr ana as well. Meaning the examples that are given in Mishnah, Chatzos HaMeisa, and Shor HaNisko, these are items that are Aser, both we're not allowed to eat it, and we're not allowed to get benefit from it. So here the Chachamim stepped in, and the Chachamim blocked Bittul. Blocking Bittul over here in our Mishnah makes a lot of sense in that the quality of the Iser is such, you can't eat it, you can't get benefit from it. So there the Chachamim blocked Bittul. But over there in the Mishnah in Temura, so the Mishnah over there gives is very clear about what the example is talking about. It's talking about an animal that's involved in Roveh Nirva. So at most, there's an Isra Achila. And even when we say an Isra Achila, by the way, we only mean Lagabi Mizbeach. We don't even mean for you and me. But at most, there's an Isra Achila. It's not an Isra Hana. So maybe you can make the argument that it's Bittul's not going to be blocked. Avahani. I'm sorry. The isur hananu of ahani emalo tzricha. So therefore, the lav isur hananu. Right. So the mission tomorrow is talking about things that are not asur b'ana, and that's why I need both mishnayos. So we have an argument that that our mission is necessary. We have an argument that the mission tomorrow is necessary. Okay. So far, so good.
In our mission is also for chatat. One ed is enough to subject all the 10,000 to
that's right.
That
one ed. Yeah. So fine. So the Gemara now is bothered by the following. Okay, look, all this is good and well, but in other words, we looked at our Mishnah. We didn't review this morning the entirety of the Mishnah. Meaning, if you go back to yesterday's daf and you look at the beginning of the Mishnah, so the Mishnah starts off with a case where I have one chatas amesis gets mixed in with many animals. I have one shor nisko gets mixed in with any animals. What are the next cases in the Mishnah? Nisarva b'shor shenev dabo avera. Let's say it was mixed in with an animal that an avera was done with it. O shehemis is a'edim. I'm sorry, o shehemis is a'adam, api a'edechad, o api a'abalim. Berova v'nirva, mukta, nevad, esnan, mechir, kalayim, trefa, yosi dofin, etc., etc. Meaning, our Mishnah also incorporates all the cases that are in Temura as well. Our Mishnah, including the case of the Mishnah, is Rova Venirva. So now the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about Isuri Anah, the Mishnah in Temura is talking about things that are only Asr B'Achila, but not Asr B'Hana. Oh, but if you look at the totality of our Mishnah covers all the cases as well. So which then prompts the Gemara to ask the next question. Ha Tanilei. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah actually has everything incorporated in it. All the cases that I mentioned, the Mishnah Temura, mentioned our Mishnah over here. So once again, once you do a full review of our Mishnah, so the question really begs itself. So then what exactly is the Mishnah Temura adding and contributing to that which we don't already know from our Mishnah as well? So the Gemara says, Mi kitani. Now here we have parentheses. Normally we skip the parentheses. Rashi clearly had some version of the parentheses. And based on Rashi's commentary, it's going to be very clear exactly what the Gemara's point is right now. Mi kitani bikamal kol shehim hasam kitani. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? Our Mishnah actually gives a number. Our Mishnah says if it gets mixed up, 1 in 10,000. Now 10,000 obviously is a really large number. But at least it caps it. And by the way, Rashi writes over here, even when the Mishnah says 10,000, maybe, and I know this is hard to say, but Rashi says it though, so that's why I feel comfortable saying it. Maybe when the Mishnah says 10,000, the Mishnah doesn't mean the actual number 10,000. Maybe it means 100, maybe it means 200. In other words, our normal numbers that we're used to hearing when it comes to bittul. But it actually caps it. Which, in other words, if all I had was our Mishnah, maybe I would have at least entertained the idea that there will come a point in time where there's actual bittul. You see, the Mishnah in Temur is much more forceful, because the Mishnah in Temur uses the words kol shehu. Kol shehu means it doesn't matter what the ratios are. If I have something which is prohibited, any of the animals that are prohibited getting mixed up with other animals, there's not going to be bittul at all. So the Gemara says, okay. So that's what we gain from the Mishnah in Temur over our Mishnah over here. The Mishnah in Temur is giving no limits. Our Mishnah over here gives a limit. That's the difference. So the Gemara says, V'nisni havalo baiha. So the Gemara says, okay. But then, I don't understand the strategy over here. I don't understand the necessity. So if the issue is limits, so why don't you just take the expression of kol shehu, put that expression in our Mishnah over here, and then everything would be covered by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah would give all the examples of where there's no bittul. Our Mishnah would use the words kol shehu, and then we have our Mishnah, and we don't need the Mishnah in Temur at all, and then the Mishnah in Temur is all but redundant. And if the only thing the Mishnah in Temur is coming to add is just simply that there are no limits, so just take the term and use it in our Mishnah, and what's the big deal? The Gemara says, ha tekanti itzrichle. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, but you know what our Mishnah also provides for us, which the Mishnah in Temur does not, and that is a remedy. Meaning, in many of the cases of our Mishnah, there is a way to remedy the situation. Not in every case in the Mishnah, but in a number of cases of the Mishnah, you go back to yesterday's daf, you review the Mishnah from yesterday's daf, so you'll know that under certain circumstances in the Mishnah, when I have a tarov, it's a mixture of things, so there is a way to remedy. Again, not every case, but at least in some cases. So what our Mishnah provides, which the Mishnah in Temur does not provide, is a takanta under the circumstances where a remedy can be implemented. Okay. So far what we've covered right now is the Mishnah in Zvachim and Mishnah in Temura. We're almost done with this section of the Gemara. What about the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah? Dehejo nami tanale. Now, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah teaches us the following. Elo asurim v'asurim b'chol shein. These are the things that are prohibited, and they're prohibited afilo b'chol shein, even in trace amounts. Yainesech avodas kochavim. So the Mishnah over there talks about yainesech and avodah zarah. Spent a lot of time in avodah zarah talking about yainesech. Learned a lot about winemaking, or at least in theory, academically. But the Mishnah over there says that if I have any amount of yainesech or any amount of avodah zarah that gets mixed in with anything else, so there is not going to be any bittul whatsoever. Now, let's just be clear. The Mishnah Zvachim, the Mishnah Temura is talking about karbanos, where there was a mixture of karbanos, where one karban got mixed in with other karbanos, or one disqualified animal disqualified for the karban gets mixed in with other karbanos. So the truth of the matter is that even though, yes, the idea of Avodah Zarah is the same idea, but the context of Avodah Zarah is significantly different. The context of Avodah Zarah is where Avodah Zarah animal gets mixed in with other animals, not carbon animals, chulin, meaning just regular animals that would have been used by you and me. Of course, the problem being now is that I have a Avodah Zarah animal gets mixed in with the lot. So, but still, it's the same concept, however, is that when animals get mixed together and one of those animals is an Avodah Zarah, so that means that there is not going to be any bittul. Bittul will be blocked. So the Gemara says tzricha. We're now on the very top of Ayin Beis Amidal. The Gemara says, no, it's necessary. Di'ime ha'asam ha'vamina ha'nimili ha'vamina lehejot aval gavoa ema lo nafsedinu lekulu. So the Gemara says, look, if all I had was the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, so who's going to suffer from the collateral damage that there's not going to be bittul? So you and me. You and me are going to suffer. Okay. So, you know, obviously, be better if we didn't. But in other words, but we're the ones who are going to be losing out. Okay, so we're going to lose out. But in other words, but we're talking about karbanos. We're not just talking about us losing out. We're talking about the mizbeach losing out, the Beis Hamikdash losing out. So in other words, are the chachamim ready to block bittul so that now the mizbeach itself is not going to get its portion of the karbanos? So in other words, it's not just a selfish personal consideration. It's a consideration to the mizbeach as well. So that's an argument you can make, and that's why the Mishnah in Zvachim, the Mishnah in Temura, is to counter that argument. And the Gemara says, and also the counter argument. Now the counter argument kind of, it's funny. It runs almost in the opposite direction. But I hear both sides of this argument really well. The counter argument is, look, as it relates to a karban. So look, the threshold of kedusha, just there's a heightened sensitivity on every respect. On Tumat Tahara, there's a heightened sensitivity. On Kedusha, there's a heightened sensitivity. So in other words, even though I only have one prohibited animal that gets mixed in with 1,000, 10,000 permitted animals, so there I would say, look, we're in the Mitzvah Mikdash, we're in the Mizbeach. So there's a heightened level, the heightened level of Kedusha, the threshold, everything's higher, the stakes are higher. So there, the Chacham and Black Bittul. But for you and me, meaning, you know, we're obviously holy people. We're good people. We're holy people. But okay, but for you and me, so in other words, we could tolerate it. And when I say tolerate it, we're talking about bittul, meaning it's nullification. So maybe the argument can be made that we could tolerate it, and therefore bittul should occur, and therefore there should be no blocking of bittul. So that's what the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah is coming to teach us, that even if it's for normal people consumption, bittul is going to be blocked as well. Okay, So far, what we've done over the course of this morning is we have reviewed the Mishnah in Zvachim in the 8th parak. We reviewed the Mishnah in Temura, and we reviewed the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, each one of them speaking to this idea that if I have an animal that is prohibited, gets mixed in with a bunch of other animals that are permitted, so bittul is going to be blocked. And so the question which you hopefully have been wondering since the beginning of Shir this morning, and that why? Meaning we know the principle is bittul. Meaning bittul is one of the cornerstones of the Torah. We spent a lot of time talking about bittul. We spent a lot of time talking about it back in Avodah Zarah. In Chulin, we're going to be spending a significant amount of time talking about it, and in this parak as well. And bittul's real, right? Just yesterday, the Shabbos morning, the shiur that was given after davening, spoke beautifully about different types of bittul, meaning as a way of deciding the halacha, as a way of arbitrating a suffix. But in other words, we have the general idea that when you have a majority against the minority, so the majority is going to overpower the minority. And therefore, the minority is going to be subject to bittul, will be nullified. Just to air it a little bit of clarity so that there's not confusion. I know you probably heard it time and again, something of Echa B'Shishim, 1 in 60. That's only to negate the taste, meaning if that there's a introduction of usher taste into another food, so then the ratio has to be 1 to 60. By basar b'chalav, by meat and milk, obviously the milk is providing a taste into the other item. And if you want to negate the taste, so I need 1 to 60. But in other words, in general, in halacha, how much you need in order to affect bittul? Simple majority, 2 to 1. So in other words, when you have a ratio of 2 to 1, so that creates bittul. So over here, I have an animal that's prohibited. It gets mixed in with two animals that are permitted. And I no longer know which animal is which. And it's a total tarovis, it's a total mixture. So there should be bittul. Obviously, what happened in the Mishnah in Zvachim, Temur, and Avodah Zarah, obviously what happened is that they blocked bittul. Now, when I say they, you know, so you know who the culprits are. So it's very simple. It's a chachamim. The chachamim, for various reasons, blocked bittul. So why did they block bittul in these cases? That's the question. It's really simple. And that's where we're going to be discussing the course of the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf. It's a big topic of discussion. V'niv talu beruba. Gemara formulates the question so succinctly in two words: let there be bittul. Okay. It's just the Gemara's attempt to understand why isn't there bittul. V'chite mechashive v'lo batle. So the Gemara says, well, okay. So now we're going to go into our arsenal of here's what we know. And maybe this is why there's not going to be bittul. Now, just as an interesting aside, I'm not going to go through it right now, but really spend time today with that first Tosfos on the Amud, where he discusses the concept, the topic of birya. Birya is that when you have an entity that is an independent entity, it's so significant, so therefore it is going to block bittul. And we've seen birya come up most notably at the end of Makos when we talked about bugs getting mixed in with other foods. And the bug is an entity, it's a singular entity, it's an independent entity. And so the bug as a whole entity is not going to be subject to bittul. It won't be nullified if it gets mixed in with other things. So why not over here? We're talking about animals. So why not use the principle of birya in order to understand why there's no blockage of bittul? So please see the first Tosfos over here who discusses why birya is not a consideration. It's not going to be discussed in the Gemara. Fine. What is going to be discussed in this is in the Gemara is what's called an halacha davar shebeminyan. Okay, it's not the first time in Shas we've encountered this idea of davar shebeminyan. I remember it most clearly in the first parak of Beitza. The first parak over there also goes over the discussion, right? The discussion over here is exactly like the discussion over there in that first parak of Beitza. So almost word for word. So the idea basically goes like this. When something is so significant, so the Chachamim said at that point in time, even though we do have concepts and principles of Bittul, the Torah provides it for us. But even though that's so, but something which is so significant is going to be impervious, it's going to be shielded from Bittul. The Chachamim block it from Bittul. Again, Bittul blocking.
I thought Beitza was Davar Shebeminyan.
That's another consideration. There are a number of considerations over there. The Gemara was juggling a number of topics over there. But you're right. Now, there's Davar Shebeminyan is one of the topics under consideration, but the other one is davar shebeminyan. Now, davar shebeminyan can be conflated with the idea of a davar chashav. It's the same basic idea. In other words, it's significant. It's so significant that whenever it's sold by count. Okay, you go to the store, you say, you know what, give me a handful of eggs. No, that's not how it works. You go to the store and you buy a dozen eggs. So it happens to be, it's funny because, you know, I brought it up, you brought it up. Happens to be eggs does not make the list of things that are exclusively sold by count. Back then, I guess that's not the case. I'll tell you what's also really interesting. It's clear from the Gemara and it's clear from Rashi as well. I mean, Rashi spells it out. Animals were not exclusively sold by count. I know that sounds funny. In other words, you're going to your local farmer and saying, you know what, do me a favor. You see that acreage of animals over there? I don't know. Let's figure that it's about 100 of them. I'll buy them from you. Like, in other words, generally speaking, the animals are sold, live animals are sold by count. I would easily imagine, but the Gemara and Rashi is very clear. It's not always done so and done in this manner. Sometimes it's just, you know, it's approximated in terms of how animals are sold. So the Gemara says v'chite mechashiva v'lo batli. So maybe you'll tell me that because it is something which is sold by count and because it's so significant, so therefore it's going to be impervious to bittul. Ha nich alaman damar kol shadak limanos shaninu alaman damar es shadak limanos shaninu ma'ik alameima. Okay. So the Gemara says it really depends on how you learn the Mishnah in Arla. There's a Mishnah in Arla, which we're going to learn the Mishnah together. So that's about to come up. But there are two ways to understand the punchline of the Mishnah in Arla. It's really important. In other words, the two different ways to learn it is Kol Shadarko Limanos or Es Shadarko Limanos. Now the difference between those two ways to learn the Mishnah in Arla is really significant. Because if your way of learning it is es shadarko limanos, that means as follows. When is something so significant and so important that it will be impervious to bittul? That's when it's exclusively sold by count. The only way that it is involved in a transaction is only when we count it out. The Gemara in the Mishnah in Arla actually tells us that there are six, maybe seven things that fall under this category of things that are sold exclusively by count. However, there's another way to read the Mishnah in Arla, and that's Kol Shadarko Limanos, and that means that it's generally sold by count. Not always, but generally. Now, as Rashi points out over here, I already said this, but I'll say it again. As Rashi points out over here, animals fall under the second category, not the first category. Animals sometimes are sold by, you know, a barnyard of animals. Again, most of the time it's sold by count, but sometimes it's sold. Alpha P, I'm reading the Rashi. I know you believe me, but still, I'll read the Rashi anyway. So Sometimes people are, sometimes, obviously, most of the time, no, but sometimes people are not particular, and they'll just simply throw another animal in, or sometimes you'll buy an animal just based on the lot, on the litter, on the herd. Okay, so the Mishnah in Arla, which we haven't learned yet, two ways to learn the Mishnah in Arla, which we're going to see is really a machlokes of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and that really will affect our discussion, because our discussion is, why is there no bittul when it comes to animals? So right now the answer on the table is because it's a davar chashuv, it's a davar shebeminyan. But the Gemara says, but it really depends on how you learn the Mishnah in Arla. So let's learn the Mishnah in Arla together. Misha yulo chavila tilson. Let's say a person had a bundle of, Rashi actually uses the word fenugreek. Okay. So, shoklaya kerem. And it happens to be that it was, unfortunately, it was crossed in a field together with a vineyard. So that means now that it's subject to the prohibition of the Torah of Kalaya Karen. And we know that when something is subject to the prohibition of Kalaya Karen, so you have to destroy it. You can't eat it. You can't benefit from it. So Yid Laku. So the Mishnah says we're now on the top of Ein Beis Amid Beis. So the Mishnah says, okay, so you have to burn it. Meaning you have to actually, you have to destroy the entire mixture. I'm sorry, we didn't get to mixture yet. You have to destroy it. Nis arvu ba'acherim. Now let's say the fenugreek of Kalaya Kerem gets mixed in with other fenugreek, and now you have a tarovus and you have a mixture. Now there are two more words coming up that are in parentheses. Acherim ba'acherim. Okay, so here too, once again, really long discussion over here. If you turn back and you look at the bottom tosos on the previous summit. So is that girsa a good girsa or not a good girsa? So see tosos for a discussion. Because basically we're talking about a mixture and then something coming out from that first mixture and falling into a second mixture. So we're talking about secondary mixtures. Okay, not for now. In other words, I don't want to lose the basic point of the Gemara, but another important discussion. So Yidlaku Nesarva Bachem, Vachem Bachem, Kulan Yidlaku Divra Meir. So Meir says, okay, everything needs to be destroyed. Meaning that there is simply not going to be any bittul, and it needs to be destroyed. V'chachamim omrim, yalu be'echad umasayim. And the chachamim are of the opinion that, no, well, there is going to be bittul eventually, and when does bittul occur? 1 to 200. When you have a ratio of 1 davar ha'asr, now davar ha'asr over here, the prohibited item is kalai ha'kerem, so if I have 1 volume, 1 amount, right, let's quantify. I'm not going to give any specific item, but in other words, just in terms of numbers. If I have 1 of Kalaya Karam against 200 of non-Kalaya Karam, or just simply Heter, so then there's going to be Bittul, then there'll be nullification. Now, where does that ratio come from? So the answer, of course, is that it doesn't come from the Torah. That ratio of 1 to 200 doesn't come from the Torah. In terms of ratios, by the way, this is it, meaning this is a maximum ratio ever you're going to find when it comes to Bittul. Where does the numbers 1 to 200 come from? There's a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from Truma. We know that in order for there to be nullification by Truma, there has to be a ratio of 1 to 100. And I'll ask the question again, where does that come from? That too is not clearly stated in the Torah. There's an allusion to it in the Torah, which I'm not going to go through right now, but it's not clearly stated in the Torah. So by Truma, in order for Bittul to occur, it's 1 to 100. Rashi writes, well, here's the math. It's really interesting math. Here's the math. In other words, we know that truma, you can't eat the truma, but you can benefit from truma. So in other words, and for truma, for bittul to occur, the ratio of truma and non-truma has to be 1 to 100. Well, when it comes to Kalaya Karam and Arla, for that matter, as you'll see, Arla also becomes part of the discussion. So those are items that are not only Asar Bachila, they're Asar Bahana as well. So since the Isser is qualitatively twice as much as the Truma, so therefore the ratio for Bittul is going to be twice as much. Truma is going to be 1 to 100, so therefore Klai Kerem and Arla is going to be 1 to 200. So says Rashi right here on our daf.
Is it considered a measurement
from Har Sinai? My best guess is no. That's my best guess, is that this is not Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. These measurements came from Chachamim, but I don't have, off the top of my head, I don't have a source for you for that point. So, but that's my best guess. I'm sorry. Yalu be'echad masayim. Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, we're back in the Gemara third line down. This is still all the Mishnah Arla. Rabbi Meir would say that Kol Shadark Limanos Mikadesh. That ain't, now look at those words carefully. Kol Shadark Limanos. Those are the words. The words of the Mishnah Arla. Anything that's sold by count, Mikadesh, sanctifies. Sanctifies meaning that there's no bittul. The Chachamim Omrim Einu Mikadesh El Shisha Dvarim Bilvad. Now the Chachamim said that this only includes six things. Rabbi Kiva, Omar Shivan, Rabbi Kiva at the step. Veiluhain. Now, what are these six things? Now, we're going to go over six items of produce that are so significant that when they're sold, they are sold. Now, I'm going to say almost exclusively. My language is going to be a little bit vague, just a little bit. Almost exclusively by count. And they are. Now, I'll tell you what the fruits are, but in other words, Rashi says a lot of these are just simply specific fruits of specific locations. It goes a prach, nuts of prach, probably the name of a place. Rimoni Badan. I'm sure he does a very good job, by the way, citing what, you know, yeah. This is, you know, this is it's what he likes to do. It's where he shines. So the Rimoni Badan, pomegranates. Chavi Ostumos, barrels, which are closed barrels of wine, obviously. Chilfei Tardin, some form of leeks. Kilche Kruv. Some orange. Sorry, something orange. Okay. The next one is orange. Right, kruv is what is it? Cabbage. Yeah, cabbage. Okay. Sauce, yeah. Cabbage stalks. Dalas Yavanis and Greek gourd. Okay, orange. I have orange in my head. Anyway, and Rabbi Kiva Mosif Afki Kershal Balabais, and Rabbi Kiva includes also loaves of bread that were prepared not by the baker but by the homemaker. Okay. Again, right now, let's just finish the mission. Arla, harayla, arla, arla, harayla, klai, karim, klai, karim. Now, that which is fit for arla is for arla, and that which is fit for klai, karim, is subject to klai, karim. Okay, v'itmar arla. Now, after learning this mission, arla, here comes the important part of our discussion, which is Rabbi Yochanan Amar, et shadark limana shanina, Roshim HaMelakish Amar, kol shadark limana shanina. Now, when you learn that Mishnah, so that all-important phrase of kol shadark limanos, what's the correct girsa? Is it kol shadark limanos, as I read in the Mishnah Arla, which is the opinion of Reish Lakish, or is it es shadark limanos? So now, hanich l'Reish Lakish, so now for Reish Lakish who has the girsa of kol shadark limanos, what does that mean? It means that as long as something is generally, now I'm going to speak very clearly, as long as something is generally sold by count, it's a davar chashuv, it's a davar shebiminyan, it's impervious to bittul. Perfect. To our question, our big question of the day and tomorrow, which is, why is there no bittul? And the answer is, because it's significant. The Mishnah in Arla teaches us that when something is generally sold by count, so therefore it's impervious to bittul. Animals are generally sold by count. So according to Reish Lakish, it's great. Eller Rav Yochanan ma'ika lamemer, but according to Rav Yochanan, now what? Meaning because Rav Yochanan says that the way to read the Mishnah over there is es shadarko limnos. Es shadarko limnos, that when only when something is exclusively and only sold by count. And there is no exceptions, meaning whenever people sell this commodity is so significant that it's only sold by count, then and only then is bittul been blocked. But when things are sold generally by count, but there are times, I don't know frequency, but there are times when it's sold by ballparking it, so then it's not significant, and therefore bittul's not blocked. And so now the question on the table is, well, according to Rav Yochanan, why then is there no bittul in the Mishnah here in Zvachim, in the Mishnah in Temura, and the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah? So why is there no bittul? So the question now still stands, and we'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up.